paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
All right, here we go. Everything in the booth? Levels are set? Yeah. No, don't worry. Talent is ready. Don't question me. All right, here we are. Put it in the books. Number 132. 132. All right, here we go. Oh, that's right. Three S's, Jim. Star, smile, strong. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNPlus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. We appreciate your loyalty and your swiping and your clicking and your whatever it is you do to find us on a regular basis. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast. And don't forget, if you want to catch up on previous ones, you just go to WGNPlus.com, go to the entertainment section, and there's a prompt for Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. You click on there, and you will find all previous 131 episodes, which must mean that this is episode 132. And let's get right to the entertainment, if you will, and we go right to the Pop Culture Club this episode, right off the bat, with Emily Armonetti. Hello, Emily, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing? Well, you're not doing. Usually, you know, that's usually a an obligatory term that we use. How you doing? And the other person usually says fine. But in your case,
well, you said, "Are you here?"
How you feel? Right. Did I say how do you feel?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm in a little bit of a haze.
Yeah, so. Well, that's why, because usually the how you doing or how you feel is usually just as obligatory question that one asks, and the answer usually is fine.
Good.
But unfortunately, you are not fine.
No.
You have been in the throes of a almost 2-week battle with influenza.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
This so you my, and you, I was just
and you didn't get your flu shot.
Not yet, but I do.
Well, don't bother.
That is the new question. Do I even need it now? I have nothing against the flu shot. I typically do try to get one, and I have for years, ever since I started having kids, but I thought I was like well within the acceptable window for getting the shot. I don't know. The doctor told me that I'm just one of the unlucky ones that got really early in the season. It got me.
Yeah. Well, I just did. I just went for a physical. In fact, I spoke about that on a recent podcast. And
I heard.
The doctor did offer me the flu shot. And as I have done throughout my entire life, I said, ixnay on the oufle.
Okay. Well, that is a mistake, A, that you are going to regret, A. Or egret ray.
Right. Yeah, you just don't put an A. You've got to do the first letter, and then you got to.
It's an mistake made.
There you go. Yeah, you got to take the first letter.
Because I mean, look, I don't want to be preachy. I know there are people who don't want to get their.
But you will.
But I am telling you, and I think, I mean, I don't remember ever getting the flu as a kid, and I've had it twice now in the last couple of years. Last year, I did not get my flu shot, not because I didn't want to. I was trying, but I was really busy, and by the time I got around to it, everyone
was trying so hard to get it.
I was.
What
like,
does that mean?
Every time I was in a CVS or a Walgreens, I would like pop over by the pharmacy, but a lot of places were like running out of it, and I don't really, you know, that to me, that's the easiest way as an adult. Unless you already have, like, you just recently happen to have your like annual you know, physical. Mm-hmm. If you happen to have your annual physical during flu season, well, that's easy because then they just offer it to you while
yeah,
you're there.
But that's what he did. I mean, I was
maybe I need to change my whole schedule.
Yeah, get on an early November yearly schedule.
I know. I'm usually summertime.
No.
You know, when I do. I think it's because my birthday is in the summer. I think you just kind of start kind of going around. So I don't know. I have to say, though, I think that the flu is, I think it's evolved over time.
Well, no, yeah, right. It's probably gotten,
like, crazy, super, and because, you know, that's the other thing, too. I mean, there are different strains of it. So, I mean, they can't always predict which.
Well, that's why I've been very hesitant to get it, because so often you find out, because people don't realize that the year before the flu serum is given, that they are, like, right now they are creating next year's flu serum. So how so that's why it's many times hit and miss, because they really can't, they're basing it on assumptions as to what they may need in terms of battling this. And so when they create it, it is a lot of guesswork, and that's why sometimes the flu shot is very effective, and other times it may be only 20 or 30% effective, because a lot of it is guesswork based on a year ahead. How could
you tell? Why I still think it's worth getting. Last year, when I was, you know, every time I was in a Walgreens or see popping in to see if they had it, nobody ever had it.
You're not getting paid by Walgreens by any chance, are you?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay, because you've mentioned them 17 times.
Maybe someone at Walgreens will hear this, you know. Send me a free flu vax. Come
on. Right.
Do you have, like,
coupons? A do-it-yourself.
DIY. That would be, that would be an idea. So, one of the pharmacists said to me, looking back on this, he had no business dispensing medical advice of this nature. But he said to me, when I finally gave up, he said to me, it was weird because they had this big sign that said, flu shots here. So I went straight to the sign. And I was like, right, they've got it. And I go up and I say to the guy, you guys have flu shots here. And he goes, hold on a second. And he goes and gets, like, the tech, you know, and he goes and he gets the pharmacist and brings him over. And the pharmacist says, yeah, we're out of flu shots, but I'm actually telling people that there's no point in getting it this year, because everyone who has been here with the flu to have their Tamiflu prescription filled had the flu shot. Now, and so then I kind of shrugged and went, like, okay, fine. Okay. And at this point, it was already February, you know, or January. It's probably January. Holidays have passed, all that malarkey. So I kind of gave up at that point. And that was a big mistake, because first of all, I'm like, why do you still have a sign saying flu shots just so you can dispense medical advice that you have no,
right.
I just put a sign up that says we are out of flu shots, you know?
Right.
So anyway, I don't get the shot. Mid-February comes around. I was visiting with my parents, James and I got the flu.
Oh, wow.
James and my parents both had had the flu shot.
Wow. See, that's what I'm saying.
The flu. Wait, within a couple days, my parents also got it. James and my parents, honestly, were pretty much better within 24 hours, whereas mine dragged on for 5 days.
Yeah, so you must have.
So,
and the fact that you said you've been battling this one for almost 2 weeks.
I'm on like day 11. This
yeah,
is crazy.
So
but
you,
I didn't know at first that it was the flu, because initially I went to the doctor and it was just like a sore throat, and they were doing the whole strep test thing. And then they sort of said, oh, it's probably just a respiratory infection. And so that's the other, like, it was kind of, it wasn't diagnosed right away, and that could also be a reason why the medication wasn't.
Well, I don't get
helping.
One.
I don't know.
I don't get one.
Well,
I
good
never
luck
have.
To you.
I have
good
a very strong constitution. Now, perhaps as I get older, I may need to succumb, but as it stands right now, I've been relatively, throughout my life, I have really been relatively flu or, now, I mean,
okay,
I don't know what
touch wood right now.
And I don't know what the flu means. I'm sure I have had bouts with it. I certainly have had the chills, and I've had the fever and the sweating overnight and things like that. So I have had touches of it, but
full body ache.
I don't know about the body aches. Really,
that's one of the chills are kind of what to me differentiate the symptoms.
And
from
even
like
when I get the chills,
ache.
It happens. It's very brief, and I sweat it out, and then I've had sore throats, and sometimes I've been very congested.
Yeah.
But maybe I've had, remnants of it, but I've never had it where I've been completely knocked out. But we'll see. I am a thrill seeker.
You obviously like to live on the edge.
I live on the edge. Hey, I've jumped out of planes.
Oh, okay. Well,
right?
There
See?
You go.
So now I can't drive up a mountain, but I could jump out of a plane. So I don't know. Maybe I am a thrill seeker. Maybe I'm way too conservative. I don't know. I'm not easily categorized, put it that way. But
right.
we wish you the best on
thank you.
Hopefully this is the end of.
I think I'm turning the corner. So yeah. I feel.
Yeah, because I was offered the flu shot and I just said no. I said no. I'm not taking it. And he didn't fight me on it. I think he realized that I wasn't going to take it, so we just moved on.
Right. Well, they can't force you.
Yeah, no kidding. But you sound okay. You sound a little nasal, but not crazy.
Yeah, no. Last week I was kind of like those. Remember those commercials? I forget what they were.
Yeah, by those I can't
with
talk.
With the giant walking nose.
Yeah, by those I can't talk. By those is Claude.
Yeah, I think those were like NyQuil commercials.
Yeah.
No, I'm at the tail end of this now, which is good.
Well, that's good.
Because I don't think that I could take much more.
Plus, you don't want to be that way for the holidays too. So.
Oh no! I know. I got to get well. It's Thanksgiving.
Do you have Thanksgiving? Do you do Thanksgiving?
So usually we do a big thing. We usually host. And when I say host, I mean, we usually have a full house of people. Like since we moved to Austin, every year we've had at least two different families visiting us. And then we have a big Thanksgiving and we host and I do the whole thing. But this year is the first year we don't. And so we have been invited to spend Thanksgiving here with a group of friends. And we are not hosting. And my husband and I were just saying to each other the other day, oh my God, thank goodness we are not hosting this year. Because not only have I been out of commission for, a ridiculous amount of time, but this year is the first year, at least in our school district, they're giving the kids the entire week of Thanksgiving off.
Oh, really?
Which, I think they think is a good thing, but when you're all of a sudden you're like, wait, what? My kids are going to be home for the whole week? Like, what am I going to do with them for the whole week? But also,
well, I'm so glad you had them. I'm so glad you had them because it sounds like they are really just, they light up your life. It sounds as if.
They do. Sometimes.
Why are they home? You sound like George Bailey. Why do we have to have all these kids?
They need to be in school. But on Thanksgiving, if you host, you're not, this is not just like Thursday. You're shopping Monday.
I was talking about my mom's Thanksgiving, because she used to do Thanksgiving, and that was a full-blown, week of, like you said, shopping and and cleaning the house and getting out the fineries and the nice china. Back in those days, you got out the nice china and the nice silverware and the candlesticks and all the plates and all the serving utensils and all those little things with the sterno underneath it. I mean, that was, and all your bad, Thanksgiving decoration. That was a big thing. But so there's nothing, and now we don't host anything, which is, so it's really nice to just go over by somebody's house. I love that.
Yes, I am looking forward to that.
Believe me, you will love going over. If you have to bring maybe you bring something, a little piece of, food or a dessert or something, but it cannot match what the work that goes into hosting.
Oh, no. No. It's nothing like hosting. So. And I do love to host. I have to say, in general, I like to host whenever we're hosting something, even if it's a kid's birthday party, I go all out to the point where my husband's like, oh, no, let's not do a big thing.
Yeah,
I'm like,
right.
Oh, we're doing it. A big thing.
If you're going to do it, you might as well do it.
I know. And I can't help myself. I like for it to be nice for everyone, grown-ups as well as kids, even like when it's a kid's party, whatever. But there is definitely something nice about taking just taking a break this year.
Yeah, that's nice.
But I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, you just show up.
Nice. Bring, oh yeah, that's the greatest. Whatever. And then you leave. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, then you leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring a little housewarming gift.
Right. So here's what I wanted to talk about, and we've whoa, what was that? Did you hear a date?
Oh, that was
what are you, a Buddhist or something?
Your time is up.
What the hell was that?
I can't believe you heard that.
Oh my God.
That was the sound.
Hey, an angel just got some wings.
or
oh my.
A beautiful mug from Cost Plus World Market just clanked against my water glass.
Oh, all right. Wow.
Yeah.
That was
eerie. I have a little coffee in the morning, you
but,
know.
But we have touched upon this, but I over the last couple of weeks, it's just been kind of more prominent to me. So I thought we could just really talk about it at length. And because this is the holiday movie season, and so all the big movies are coming out, and there's some big things like the Mary Poppins movie and all this stuff. I've been reading about all these big films, and for the superhero people, there's Aquaman, and there's just all these big kind of, you know, holiday movies coming out. But at the same time, at this time of the year, there have been some major, you know, either cable or more than others, you know, the streaming services have had these big, high-profile things. There's Homecoming with Julia Roberts, and she's, in fact, in another movie at the theaters. I think it's called Ben's Back or something like that, or Bad Ben.
Yes, that's the one I told you a few weeks ago with the trailer. It made me cry.
Yeah, and so, but I'm, you know, as I'm looking at this now, it really, I mean, as much, I mean, especially the main thing that really struck me was, it seems as if, and this has been going on for a while, but now there's an interesting dynamic going on. Netflix is beginning to produce movies that are both available on Netflix and at the theater.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Coen Brothers movie called The Ballad of Billy Scruggs or something. They put together something really cool. Orson Welles, you know, 40 years ago, started to, you know, do his last film, and he never finished it. It was sitting in different fragments. There was a lot of financial and court things as to who owned the rights, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, they finally put it together as best they could based on some notes, and that was released at the theaters as well. It's available on Netflix. And then there are some things like, as I said, Julia Roberts' Homecoming is on Amazon, and we just had House of Cards. And I'm seeing these number one movies, and this has been something that's been going on in many aspects of entertainment where they have charts, where there's some kind of, you know, rankings. There's a number one movie for one weekend, and then the next weekend it goes away. And there's another number one movie. And then the other one that was number one usually falls way down and goes away. And so I'm just wondering, I mean, I have said I rarely at this time go to the movie theaters, and I was a movie critic, okay? I mean, I love movies. So I used to go to movies all the time, professionally as well as personally. And I've always loved seeing movies, and I was always an advocate. You got to see it on the big screen. Don't wait for it to, you know, to come on, you know, VHS or DVD or cable. Right. You got to see it on the big screen. I was just a crusader on that. But I'm just seeing so many movies, and and I've been turned off to movies a lot. I think this has happened because I'm not a big superhero movie fan, and so that's what a lot of films are now in the summer, especially when these big, you know, your summers and your Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, do you go, because now, thanks to you, you were pestering me, and so I got Netflix and Amazon Prime, so now I have access to the Homecoming, which is another new thing, and all these other things. And so I've got, you know, we binged on House of Cards. We watched all 8 episodes in one day.
Yes.
The correct binge way.
You're talking to someone who just spent 11 days in bed. Okay. Do you have any idea how much Netflix I watched?
I could only imagine.
I watched the whole I don't know if you've seen it yet. This The Haunting of Hill House.
Now, is that good?
That's a big one. It is good. Yes.
Is it worth binging or no? Just be honest.
I would,
because I don't want to waste 11 hours if it's not.
I think if I.
Okay, enough. Wait. You're hemming. No. Okay, next. The fact that you are hemming and hawing like this.
Because your question is multifaceted.
It's not.
Is it worth watching? Yes, over a period of time. I wouldn't say lock yourself in your house on Saturday and binge watch the whole thing in one go, unless you have the flu and you're stuck in bed.
Okay, that's the question I wanted. That's the answer I wanted.
There you go. But I liked it.
Yeah, I like Carla Gugino. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at whether I,
But Homecoming is next on my list because I was trying to decide between that and Hill House when I was realizing I'm stuck in bed with an iPad.
Well, here's the thing, because now, now you've got. When you've got people, I mean, here's the thing that I've been noticing. As I said, I think Netflix is great. There's a ton of entertainment choices at your leisure,
yes.
Which, as we said many times, convenience now is the key word. This is a culture of convenience,
right?
But now, when you have people, and I think as much as people may hate Kevin Spacey or whatever, when Kevin Spacey went to Netflix early on. And was a two-time Oscar winner and did House of Cards, that gave amazing credibility to Netflix.
Yeah.
And really put it on the map. And now you've got, like, mega stars like Julia Roberts going to streaming
services.
Well,
I know. Now that Julia Roberts has a show on Netflix, I think that's pretty much a done deal.
So this is my thing. So this is what my point is. Now when you've got people of that stature going to Netflix, I'm just wondering, and the way movies come and go, and I know, I mean, a lot of people are talking about, I haven't seen A Star Is Born yet. I've heard a lot of people talking about it. It's one of those things that I wonder if I can wait for it to come on television.
Okay. Let's just say, so it's funny that we're even talking about this, because I have not been to the theater in a really long time. I think the last time, a year ago, maybe around a year ago, that Bad Moms Christmas movie was coming out, and a friend of mine organized for like a bunch of friends to go. And so I went. It was like a fun girls' night out. We had dinner and we went to the movie. But other than that, I had not been to the movies in a long time. Just recently, I not only have been to the movies, but I've been there twice. I saw Halloween because it was Halloween, and I do like a good scary movie around Halloween. And I would only go if we went before Halloween. Okay, once Halloween's over, I'm not going. The moment has passed.
And that movie went away very quickly.
Right.
Too.
But yeah, within 1 week, I was in the theaters twice. I saw Halloween and I saw A Star Is Born. A Star Is Born, again, I don't think I necessarily would have been self-motivated to just go to the theater to see it, but a friend of mine said, oh, I really want to see it in the theater. Do you want to go? And I said, yeah, that'll be fun. Okay, we'll go. I haven't been to the movies in like over a year, and now suddenly I'm there twice in 1 week.
Yeah.
Now that movie, having seen it, I do feel like it needs to be seen on the big screen.
Oh, really?
Because I do feel like it will lose some impact it's a good movie, but it will lose some impact if you don't see it on the big screen, is my personal opinion.
Well, I said, see, that's where I'm torn, because it's, to me, like I said, I've been, it hasn't been an easy road for me, because I've always enjoyed the big screen, and I've always enjoyed the movie experience. Now, what I can say is that over the last several years, I have not enjoyed the movie going experience, just because I think people have personally, behavior wise, have brought their home viewing habits into the theater to the point where there is just a complete and utter disregard that there is anyone else in the theater.
Right.
And to the point of rudeness, and they don't even realize, A, they don't realize they're being rude, and B, when they are confronted with it, they don't really care. And so that has really turned me off. I don't feel like spending $20-some and then being in an experience that I'm not enjoying, and being, you know, having to, you know, deal with these outside, you know, annoyances.
Well, do you think it's mostly the phone phenomenon?
Well, it's where, the phone. You know, it's talking. It's just the whole movie theater. It's almost like it's a playground. Everybody, there's a lot of activity. It's not just the phone. People are talking to one another out loud. I mean, I have no problems. I will ask a question with whoever, with my wife or someone else. You know, what's this guy? But I'm whispering.
Yeah, you're like, is that the guy?
Yeah, but it's not. It's not like, who is this? I mean, they're talking in there. Who's that guy? Is that guy the one? I mean, they're talking in a normal voice. Everybody's getting up every 2 seconds. Everybody, you know, there's so much now in that lobby. There's more activity in that lobby than there is, you know, in the theater. There's more going on out there.
Well, because there's a bar.
That's what I mean. It's
lobbies.
Yeah, it's like moving. Seeing the film is like seventh on your list of things to do at the movie theater, because there's you know, ball pits and bars and ice cream and video games and birthday parties.
And it's just too much for an Elton gym.
It's not that it's too much for me. It's just that you know, move, as I said, the actually sitting down is like the fifth priority. So that's turned me off. And then, like I said, I go to see so many of these movies, and like you were talking about The Haunting of Hill House, you get out of there, even though, you read this, 4 stars, 3 stars, and you walk out of there and you go, no, not really. I mean, I've been disappointed more often than not to say, geez, I came out and I went out and made the effort, and it wasn't as much. So I have waited for films to come out, you know, either on, you know, pay services like cable or and things like that. But now I'm just wondering, when you've got major stars, I mean, if you're not a it's really sadly come down to this. I mean, if you're not a comic book fan, like, which I am not, I mean, is there really a drive? I mean, yes, in theory, you should see Mary Poppins on the big screen. If you want to go see the Mary Poppins Returns, you should go see that on the big screen. It's going to have animation and the whole thing. So I get that. You know, I understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, is it going to be that good of a movie, or is it magical just because it's Mary Poppins? And so I'm wondering, you know, and now when you've got major stars who are going to Netflix and these other kind of streaming services, you know, is it, and now when movies are opening at the theaters and available at home, I mean, the lines now are their lines aren't just blurred. The lines are gone. I mean, is there really a reason to go to the movie theater anymore?
Well, you know,
I'm just wondering.
So I think when big mega A-list stars are taking projects on the quote-unquote small screen, they are going where the material is. And for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's easier to get a project like, you know, a movie or whatever greenlit on Netflix than it is. I would imagine it could be, because Netflix has more flexibility just by nature of how they're set up. You know, they're not like networks. They don't have to worry about advertisers. They don't even have to worry, I don't think, as much about ratings as
release how many people are watching a specific thing. They're all about buzz.
Right. But even if they're tracking how many people are watching, you know, what's the one with Lily Tomlin and Grace and Frankie or whatever, you know, which is a cute show.
Yeah, I watched. We watched
like,
that.
I mean, it's cute, but it's not like you're like hanging on the edge of your seat every week waiting for the next episode.
No.
Even if they're tracking how many people are watching that, you know, they don't need to worry so much about how many people are watching each specific show. They just need to make sure that Netflix has enough appeal that they're building their subscriber base, and that they're and they're building their cachet. But so they don't have to deal with the movies. They also, again, they still have more flexibility. They don't necessarily have to worry about box office as much. The material, I think, seems like maybe the good material is going to places because it's easier to sell. A Star is Born is a perfect example. I read this interview with Lady Gaga, and she was talking about how this went through so many iterations over years. I mean, there were so many different people attached to this project at one time or another, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that it took so long to get it just greenlit to go. And like, then you have to think to yourself, a remake of a known quantity, A Star is Born, a film that a lot of people really love.
Plus, this is the fourth incarnation, too.
Right, exactly. That was a hard sell. You know what I mean? If you're a screenwriter in Hollywood.
Oh, I know.
And you also read a lot about, I just read Barbara Streisand was saying something about there's this movie that she'd been trying to get off the ground for years. It just never went anywhere. And I'm like thinking, Barbara Streisand can't get something greenlit. I mean, imagine now how hard it is for could be a very talented, but lesser known.
I just heard an interview with Hugh Jackman. And he was talking about, that film he made last year, The Greatest Showman, about P.T. Barnum.
Yeah.
And he had to go and basically have a big kind of dog and pony show and sing some songs and whatever for investors to get that movie made. Now, this is Hugh Jackman, who has made how many movies? A proven box office, even though the idea of P.T. Barnum might be a question, it's still Hugh Jackman singing and dancing. You would think that that would be enough, and yet even someone of his stature is still having to wonder. Now, I guess the biggest question that I've had is, what I find interesting as well now is, Netflix has been a major power in terms of original programming, and you can basically, date that back to House of Cards. So say 6 years. It's been six seasons. So six and a half.
House of Cards, and I think Orange is the New Black.
Yeah,
is one
but House of Cards was the first one.
Yeah.
So let's say 7 years when they decided to actually get in and people thought enough of it to begin to watch this type of stuff. But what's so funny is, as I'm seeing now more and more shows, it's almost impossible to keep up with all the shows. And like you said, which is correct, they're worried about content and having a lot of stuff up there and a lot of options so that it's compelling enough for people to subscribe. Now, they don't really care if you watch one episode or 15 episodes,
right,
or every season. They just want you to join, and then whatever you watch is fine with them. As I said, that's why they do not release statistics about how a specific show does. They just tell you, hey, we've got eight zillion subscribers. But what I'm seeing happening, and what I fear might just happen overall, is what happens with most of these things. And I just hearken back to the initial days of cable television. When cable television first came out, it was this amazing alternative to network television. It was movies with no commercials. That was the first thing. That was great. On HBO, there was no commercials.
Oh, yeah.
There were all these, then basic cable, and then there was MTV, something that you could never get on regular TV, even though they tried, remember Friday Night Videos in the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
They tried to do that, but MTV was on 24 hours, and then you had CNN, and then you had all these different shows, and then you had HBO doing things like The Sopranos, and now House of, or Game of Thrones, and things like this. But in the meantime, if you are honest, cable television, for the most part, is kind of a great wasteland. There's more crap than there is good stuff. There's just a lot of it. How many stations? How many stations on your cable do you really watch with daily regularity?
Bravo would probably be the only one. And that's where all the Real Housewives
right, exactly.
Live.
Although I do get, I you know what? I've never watched any of the Housewives shows. I will not do that.
I can't picture you watching those.
No, but you know what I do like for some odd street is I like Below Deck.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I watched Below Deck.
You are
the yachting. I'm a yachty.
Oh my, I cannot.
I am a yachty.
And I don't know if I can ever look at you in the same way.
I like Captain Lee. Captain Lee.
Oh my!
He reminds me. He reminds me of, and you won't get this because you're not a sports fan, but people might out there. He looks just like a former quarterback in the NFL from the 70s called Kenny Stabler, who was one of my favorite guys. Maybe that's why I like him. But Cap, I don't watch it every week. But I
okay,
will if
even I don't watch Below Deck.
But if I'm scanning, okay. I will stop on a Below Deck.
Oh boy!
Yeah, that's the only.
Oh well, you know
reality
what?
Guilty pleasure I have.
That is the highest level of guilty pleasure.
But here's okay, my thing. What I'm afraid of, Netflix on its face was you know initially very cool in that it was very selective. It was having these, to your point, like what was drawing big stars. They were coming to the work because Hollywood was moving more toward, you know, popcorn movies and superhero movies and all that based at, you know, aimed at 12-year-old boys or, you know, animation aimed at little kids. And you weren't really seeing a lot of heavy adult mature movies getting made. And if they were, they were rarely in rare release. You'd have to a wide release. You have to find it somewhere at a smaller theater. And so I think that's why over the last 5 or 6 years, ever since Netflix or, you know, House of Cards proved it, you know, you're seeing more A-list people saying, wait a minute, this can get made and it's good stuff. And it's like a movie. The production values are there. I mean, I was just reading a story about Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
The new season, which you know, will be starting in April of 2019, which is their last season, they're only going to be 6 episodes.
Oh, okay.
15.
That's a short season.
Well, yeah. $15 million per episode.
Wow.
For a television show. I mean, they usually were at 5. Now, I think there's 6
That's
episodes,
crazy.
But they're probably going to be like 2 hours apiece. So you're still going to get, you know, a lot of viewing. It's just not, you know, hour
See,
by
now,
hour.
I truly don't get the economics of that for HBO.
Well, but I think they're, well, but don't forget, there's such a back end for them in the DVDs, and there's all this merchandising and everything like that. And there is some prestige, and it always wins the Emmy, so that may help them. But I guess my point is, you know, as I said before, cable used to be this amazing, fresh, invigorating, appealing alternative to network television 35 years ago. So here we are now, and what happened is that cable became a vast wasteland of, yes, a few really good shows that you would still watch, and that's why you kept cable, whether it was on basic cable or whether it was on the pay service like HBO.
Yeah.
But for the most part, there was way too much, there was great access, but not enough really compelling content to fill the access. So now what I'm starting to see, after only 7 or 8 years, when Netflix has come on, initially, my gosh, I mean, you were seeing this, you know, the Orange is the New Black, and as I said, House of Cards, and all of a sudden, Netflix was getting all these Emmy nominations for other shows. And you're like, wow, there's some really quality stuff, clearly. You know, The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, you know, always dominating the Emmys. And you're like, wow, there's a lot of quality stuff, you know, coming, you know, on this streaming thing. And that's why I decided to finally get it. But now what I'm seeing is a lot of, there's so many, now they are starting to become a dumping ground. Before it seemed like they were a lot more selective with shows. But now there's a ton of shows. How do you keep up? Can you really keep up with what's on Netflix and Amazon and Hulu right now?
Well, if you get the flu, you can.
Well, I'm just saying, in your normal life. I mean, before, I think it was manageable.
But
now it seems like they're just throwing stuff, they're just throwing everything up on the wall to just have content. And I'm as creative as people are, there is an end to creativity, and not everything is good. But I think in another 5 years, Netflix and all these places are going to be just as filled with crap as cable is now.
Yeah, but you know what? That's why websites like Vulture, for example, which is a great kind of pop culture website, that's why they do these lists like every month almost of like what to watch on Netflix this month. And that helps curate for you because that's basically, you know, a bunch of critics.
Right, but my question is how much of that is good stuff, though? I mean, so how to your point,
it's all pretty. It holds up. I mean, I mean,
they're curating, so that means they're going through a lot of stuff. I mean, before, my point is when it started, Netflix was very selective in almost every show that was on was worthy.
My issue with Netflix is not the volume of original content that's there now and trying to navigate that. My biggest, because I think that's, again, there are people out there who can help you curate what you want to watch. I mean, even Netflix itself looks at your viewing habits and suggests things to you. And then, of course, there are shows that get a lot of hype. So you just know, like, ooh, I want to try, you know, like Ozark or, you know, like, well, Homecoming is getting a lot of hype right now. So you kind of have a sense of, oh, here's what I maybe want to watch. But my issue with Netflix is I can't believe, and maybe they don't need to, and so this is why they don't really take care of it, but I can't believe that when it first started, it wasn't even, I mean, there was some original content, but Netflix was really more about like movies, like getting to watch movies. But the movies have never, there's never been any rhyme or reason to the movies that are on Netflix. And some of them are just so like random and, you know, like, it's like, okay, anything is available on Netflix this month. Great. That movie is 25 years old and I've seen it 1,000 times.
Well, once again, they're trying, they are just loading themselves up with content. They you know, now what frustrates me about Netflix is that when I say, oh, I want to find, oh, I wonder if this movie is on Netflix or Amazon, you know, and I will look for it, and then it says, rent it for $3.
Wait, where does it say that? Maybe on Amazon, but not on Netflix.
No, on Amazon.
Right, on Amazon.
And I'm like, well, no, but then if it's not on Netflix, and I have to rent it on Amazon, then I can't see it. And I guess what my initial thought was, it almost, maybe it was naive, but my thought was that everything is available. And I guess in theory, it is, everything is available. But then on Amazon, if it's not all there to you to watch as part of Amazon Prime, well, you have to at times rent it for $3. And that's not a big thing.
Right.
That's the same thing as going to, you know, to going to a Blockbuster in the old days.
I don't get annoyed with it. So that, and I get, that's why they have that section that's like free with Prime. So then you can only focus on what is free on Prime. But if there's a specific movie that you want to watch, now I don't mind when I, you know, when I'm, if there's a movie that's you know, on Amazon and I'm like, oh, that looked interesting when it was in the theater, not enough to get me there, but I want to see it, I'll pay to rent it. But when it becomes an issue for me is when my kids get fixated on watching something and it's not on demand and it's not on Netflix, but they see it on Amazon. They're like, oh, okay, there it is, it's on Amazon. And I'm like, guys, I am not paying.
Right, exactly.
You know, I'm not paying for you to watch Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone
again, right,
27th time. You know, I'm not paying for that. I mean, at that point, we should have bought the movie when you first watched it. Because that's the thing. Kids get stuck on certain movies and then they watch them over and over again.
I'm just wondering where we're going. I think that I'm seeing movies that are less and less compelling to go see. And this is personally me. I guess the only thing that's validating my view on that is that there was a time when there was a number one movie or a great movie that was out, it sustained its popularity for weeks, if not months. I mean, think about, you know, 30 years ago when Back to the Future came out. I mean, that was a sensation.
Oh, well, Back to the Future, though.
But my point,
was like a phenomenon.
I know, but I'm just talking about movies. Some movies were around for months, and you went to see them several times. And now it seems, I mean, I'm just looking at, you know, the tops of the charts, and a few weeks ago, you know, this movie about Freddie Mercury and Queen comes out, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, you know, that comes out, and it's number one for 2 weeks, and then it's gone. And Star Is Born, you know, was number one. In fact, I don't even think Star Is Born was ever number one. I think it lost out to Venom, whatever the hell Venom is.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that was some cartoon movie, and that's gone. That was number one. Now Star Is Born has made over $100 million. It's a bona fide hit.
Yeah.
But I guess my point is, what's so frustrating is that we are in an age now where, once again, we are so inundated with so much stuff in so many ways to get it, that even the really good stuff, even the stuff that is worth, you know, going out of your way to see, or is really quality stuff, there's so much content being thrown at us that even the good stuff, the stuff that proves itself critically as well as financially, just seems to go away. I've heard great things about A Star Is Born. And you just said it was great. I've seen great reviews for it. But do you sense a Star Is Born frenzy in the pop culture world? You know what I mean? Like,
well,
shouldn't this movie, shouldn't this just be dominating our world? Like, oh my gosh, Star Is Born, Star Is Born, Star Is Born. I'm not seeing that.
Well, no, but this is good. But I think that A Star Is Born is not going away because, as you know, as soon as the holidays are over, it's award season, and they are going to be pushing massively.
Oh yeah, but I'm just saying,
Lady Gaga.
I understand.
But now look, I'm looking at the box office charts from last weekend. Okay, now number one is Dr. Seuss. Weekend gross was over 67 million. Bohemian Rhapsody was number two. Something Called Overlord was number three. But this is interesting. Then there's The Nutcracker and the Four Realms, number four. That's kind of surprising,
yeah,
actually, because I saw a commercial for that.
Right.
I'm like, huh?
Yeah, right.
Okay, A Star Is Born, which I don't know how many weeks it's been out. Oh, six weeks it's been out, I guess. This says week number six. A Star Is Born. Now, that has total gross to date is over $178 million.
Yeah.
Now, last weekend, this is interesting. It made $8 million, okay, at the box office, which is not bad for having been out for 6 weeks. Now, number six, The Girl in the Spider's Web, A New Dragon Tattoo Story. Now, that was a very popular
movie. Yeah, they were hyping that movie.
Okay.
Yeah, and that did
that
terrible.
That movie, now, I think this is its first weekend out. That made $7.8 million
in the box office.
So it didn't even make as much as A Star Is Born did in its sixth week. That's kind of interesting.
Well, that's my point. So, but that movie was heavily hyped, and it was coming off of that entire, you know, Dragon Tattoo series.
Yeah.
And so my point is, there's so much stuff out there, and now when you've got major A-list stars, as I said before at the beginning of this whole conversation, like Julia Roberts and Kevin Spacey, or whatever you want to call it, you know, going to places like Hulu and stuff, where now that is just, you can, if I'm sitting at home and I'm not going out to the movie theaters and I'm waiting for movies to hit cable or the streaming services, then right now, to me, Homecoming starring Julia Roberts, or Murder on the Orient Express from last year, doesn't look any different to me. It's on my television. And they're both, in my mind, I didn't see it at the theater, you know, say Orient Express last year, so it's new to me. And so that's my point, is I'm just wondering, as the lines are not even being blurred, but they're being just broken down, and now you've got major stars coming to those pay services, I'm just wondering, how much longer will it be until first-run movies are really shown in your home?
Well, this is already happening, though, because...
But I mean I don't mean just in a specific... I mean on a regular weekly basis where it is then par for the course. And it's not, you know, I'm sure it'll be a little extra premium. But my point is, I think within the next 3 to 5 years, and maybe even sooner... Given now, when you've got major stars doing this stuff and getting into your homes via those streaming services, theaters yes, they will make their millions because they will continue to show the animated things for kids or the big kind of big budget popcorn movies. But man, I have to tell you, for someone, if you're not into that, I wouldn't mind seeing A Star Is Born. As much as you say it might be great to see it on the thing, if I don't have to deal with those people in the theater and I could watch it at home, I would pay an extra $5 and see that movie in my home on opening weekend.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're going to really start to see that as a every week you're going to your home is going to be your own theater. Especially with people getting 60 or 70-inch TVs at this point.
Well, this is true. I mean, actually, a lot of people have those, like, theater
That's
rooms,
what I mean.
You know?
And I'm sad about that. I'm not even happy about myself because, as I said, I have always loved going to the movies, and I've always been a proponent of seeing the movie on the big screen. I mean, one of the coolest things, you know, that we do a lot of times, you know, if we have the time, is we still go. And here in the Chicago area, there's this theater called the Music Box in the Wrigleyville area by Wrigley Field. And they show It's a Wonderful Life on the big screen. And I love to see it on the big screen every year.
Yeah, well, that's a nice tradition.
Yeah, but my point is, I like the big screen. I like the movie, experience. But sadly, I'm just been turned off by, A, the content. I'm not going to go see Iron Man. I'm not going to go see Thor. You know, I'm not going to go see whatever, you know, and I'm not going to go see the animated films. And so aside from that, there's not a lot of stuff that is compelling enough for me to go there. And I said, then also deal with the behavior of a lot of people. And now when I've got, major stars on my TV screen with first run original programming and it's mature, good programming, like, say, The Homecoming, I don't know. I'm wondering how long does the movie theater exist? I don't know.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm looking at these numbers and I think it's still as long as they are showing films that are grossing hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, and people are still willing to pay. I don't even know how much is a movie ticket now. I mean, I just went to the movies.
Well, it's got to be $9 or $10 easily.
Oh,
right?
It's more than that, I think.
Is it? Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying at least 12, 15.
I mean, do your kids care if you go to a movie or if they watch it on television, for instance? Do they care?
That's a tough question because I don't think that my kids don't go to the movies a lot. I mean, I think we don't go to see every animated film that's in the movie.
Well, see, so that's my point. So even
when we do take them though, they really enjoy it and it's really fun. Like we will take them. I think next week, especially with the kids off school for the whole week, we will take them to see The Grinch. I mean, and that's a movie that they like, you know, this is a remake, but they've watched a few different Grinches and they like them all. And, you know, it makes sense to take them.
But do they, I guess my question is, do they enjoy the movie experience?
Yes, I think
you know, like going there and having the big screen and getting
like
the popcorn.
Yes, I think they do.
Okay, well,
but they don't bug me every time an animated film comes out. Like, we have to go see this. Probably because nobody ever really sees commercials anymore. So I'm not sure they're that aware unless we tell them something's coming out. You know,
right.
I'm not sure they're really aware. But, you know, even Harry Potter is a good example because our son, he is almost at the end of that series. He loves it. And every time he finishes a book, he gets to watch the movie. Yeah. It makes me wonder if he had the choice. You finish the book, and he usually wants to watch it like right away when he finishes the book. Uh-huh. Obviously none of the Harry Potter film. I think there's one film left, maybe to be released. I want to say and I'm only basing this on stuff I've heard him say. I'm not speaking with authority here, but I wonder whether if he had the choice, like you can watch it right now because you finished the book today, or it's in the theaters, you can wait till this weekend and see it in the theater. I wonder what he would choose.
So now, for instance,
I don't know.
Is he doing those Fantastic Beast movies?
No, not yet. And I think I've been talking to him about, well, what are you going to do when you finish reading the Harry Potter series? And he's like, I don't know. I thought maybe he would have some game plan, you know, but he's been so into it that he hasn't thought about it. So I feel like it's our job to kind of, you know, guide him in the direction. I mean, there's kind of those, like, His Dark Materials.
Because that Fantastic Beast, now there's going to be five of those.
I know. So I think, is that also J.K. Rowling?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, where that started from, that was a... What's interesting about that is that that Fantastic Beast thing was a very little corner of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And so then they have expanded that into its own kind of thing so they can keep the Harry Potter machine rolling. But now what I'm reading about this second episode with Johnny Depp is that now they're actually starting to bring in more of the backstory of the Harry Potter mythology in that, like, for instance, Jude Law plays a young Dumbledore.
Okay.
So instead of that being initially, it seemed like it was its own universe. But they're trying to find a way to bring in more Harry Potter now because they know that, you know, that well has not been tapped.
Right. Well, so that is a good next logical step. But it is interesting. I mean, it's hard with kids, you know, though, because they are way more into instant gratification than we are. You know, there's that whole M&M test where you say to a kid, like, you can have one M&M now or you can wait until later and you can have the whole bag. And, like, most of the time they choose to have the one now.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think they do enjoy, it is an exciting and a special thing for them to actually go to the movies with us. So I do think for them that is a little, that's nicer than just putting something on, you know, the TV at home.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm just seeing Netflix abounding now in so much content, new content, and some of it is hit or miss. Like, even they're talking about this new Coen Brothers thing, and it's kind of like this Western, and it's kind of an episodic kind of thing, and they're like, well, it's kind of hit or miss. And I'm just saying is that, you know, there is an end to how much creativity is out there. I don't care how much, you know, you are trying to fill all of these platforms. There is a finite amount of real good creativity and quality entertainment. And then there is a lot of slipshod stuff. And my fear is that Netflix and some of these streaming places initially made their mark by offering this really high quality stuff like Stranger Things and, you know, like I said, House of Cards and things like that. And now as it becomes more popular and as they are driving to just continue to go for subscribers, they are worried more about content than they are about quality. They want you to have a lot of choices, and regardless of you know how good it is, you know, if they get big name people, the Coen brothers, Martin Scorsese, you know, this and that, that'll draw you there enough, and that's all they want. And once they got you in the system, whether that big high profile project is worth its salt is another. I'm a big Woody Allen fan. He did something on Amazon a couple years ago. Everybody was all hyped about it. Wow, Woody Allen. It turned out to be really not very good. But it was, hey, it's Woody Allen. We got to see it, right? I got to get Amazon.
So
that's what I'm just afraid of is that, you know, this streaming service used to be, once again, a great kind of quality alternative to all the crap out there. And I'm just afraid now it's just going to become another big dumping ground until the next cool thing comes along. You know, when we actually...
Oh, well, yeah, there's always the next...
Until we implant cool movies in our brain.
Right.
And that's probably a couple of weeks away. But, well, we'll see. I mean, I am still haven't given up on movies per se. I will still go to one when that really grabs my interest and attention. But I'm watching now is that when I'm seeing Julia Roberts and people like that saying, "Hey, streaming services are cool." I'm going, "Well, if she's going to go there, then why do I need to go to the movies?"
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Although I'm going to make a prediction now. Uh-huh. I feel like you right now, I'm seeing you summer of 2019. I see you at the theater.
On May 31st?
Is that when it's coming out?
May 31st, Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
Yes. Rocket Man.
Every time I read about it, I think of you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's going to be very interesting. There is a movie, they're making a biopic about Elton John called Rocket Man, and I think it's supposed to come out. And I was surprised, to be honest with you. I mean, one reason why I think Bohemian Rhapsody did so well, because it was really panned by the critics. The lead actor has always got very good reviews for playing Freddie Mercury, but the film itself wasn't all that well reviewed. But I think it came out at a perfect time. It was right at the beginning of November when there's not a lot of big movies, so there wasn't a lot of competition. What I'm surprised is they are releasing this Rocket Man movie about Elton John on May 31st. I mean, that's got to be Memorial Day weekend, right?
That's a good question.
I mean, that's when all the big guns, come
Memorial
out.
Memorial Day 2019.
Yeah, that's when all the big guns come out. So,
well, May 27th is going to be Memorial Day this week. This year.
But I'm just saying. Same week. Yeah. So I was just surprised that they would put it out against such. That's the beginning of the summer season.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else is going to be against it, but I just hope it's not an Iron Man movie or something. An Avengers movie.
That doesn't mean.
No, I mean I don't know what the mass appeal for an Elton John biography film is going to be, but I'll have to say, I mean, as a fan, the images and the trailer that I've seen, the images itself looks pretty cool. They've done for someone who knows the story and knows the era.
Oh, I imagine, yeah, you're going to be very discerning.
Yeah, I don't know how the story is going to go and how they're going to tell it and how the narrative is going to go, but visually, I have to say that they've done a nice job of recreating the era. So that looks that looks pretty cool.
Now, who is directing this?
Well, the same guy that directed the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, is it the same guy?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He actually didn't get credit because he came in, the original director left, and this guy came in to clean it up, and he didn't even get credited, but he now is the director of that film. And there's, I can't remember, the guy that plays Elton in this, his name is Taron, he's in the new Robin Hood movie. There's a new Robin Hood movie.
Taron, is it Edgerton?
Yeah, Taron Edgerton. He plays Elton. Yeah.
So
we'll see how he does. They did a great job of turning it. They gave him the gap tooth and the bald head and the whole deal. So he looks the part. We'll see what the story is like. But yeah, that one, you are exactly correct.
I know you're going to be.
If I don't see another movie between now and May 31st, that may be the first one. Because of course, well, I have to anyway, because he dedicated a song to me at Madison Square Garden.
Of course, yeah. It's a no-brainer.
So, yeah, I was
going to
go anyway. Yeah. But now, me and Elton, after he did that on October 19th, 2018, at Madison Square Garden.
Show
number 182.
182, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what took him so long. I only been going to 182 shows waiting for that.
Hey, you know what? He did it. Let's not get greedy here.
Well, he could have, I was right next to the stage. He could have brought me up and I could have waved to the crowd.
Oh.
So while it was cool, it could have been cooler.
Oh, boy, okay. All right.
It's very hard to please me. Very hard to please.
Clearly.
Well, Emily, take care of yourself, and
I'll try.
Hopefully, you will beat the flu, and the next time we talk to you, your voice will be as clear and unclogged and uncongested as it usually is. So, take care, and go out and see a movie this weekend.
I will. I think if I can get rid of this contagion,
right.
I think I will be at the Grinch with my kiddos.
Well, so very we'll good.
I'll report back.
If I was you, I'd take us. I love the Grinch. Take care, Emily.
Thanks, Jim.
And so that ends episode number 132 here of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNPlus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting and binge-worthy pleasure. And if you want to listen to the other previous 131 episodes, go to the Elton Jim prompt on WGNPlus.com. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast that every week goes from the end of the web to your screen.